You're listening to the Get Your Gut Together with Dr. Ariola podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. Carolina Ariola. I'm a licensed naturopathic doctor with a telemedicine practice who specializes in all things gut health. I created this podcast to provide listeners like you with the information needed to understand how the gut works, how it affects nearly every aspect of your health, and of course, to give you the basics on how you can start improving your gut health today. I'm committed to empowering my listeners and providing you all with the information and the tools you may need to advocate for yourselves, get your gut together, and achieve optimal health. Now let's get the show started. The information provided on this show is not medical advice and is intended for educational purposes only. It is not meant to diagnose or treat any disease or condition. Please consult your healthcare provider before incorporating any of the information provided into your personal care. Hippocrates once claimed that all disease begins in the gut. So if this is the case, in order to prevent disease and support optimal wellness, shouldn't we make our digestive health a priority? Not only for ourselves, but for the little ones in our lives. My family is huge and there are so many kids around, so I interact with children of all ages on a regular basis. And unfortunately, I'm seeing digestive issues come up more and more often for kids as young as 2 to 3 years old. And not even just in my own family, but many of my patients share with me the digestive struggles that their children face. Now, in my practice, I see and treat adults only. Pediatrics is a whole other field of medicine that I like to leave to those who are super passionate about working with children. However, since I do not actively see kids at my practice, I thought it would be helpful if I shared some general tips on how to raise kids with a healthy and happy gut. It's come to my attention that many parents are not aware of the importance of digestive health for their children. But it truly is crucial for their overall well-being. So in this episode, we'll explore what digestive health means, discuss common digestive problems that children face, and I'll offer practical tips for maintaining a healthy gut in your little ones. To start, let's talk about what digestive health means. Digestive health refers to the optimal functioning of the digestive system, from your mouth to your bottom. So everything from chewing their food correctly and eliminating their bowels on the daily contributes to the well-being of your child's digestive system. Having a healthy digestive system is essential for absorbing nutrients and maintaining a good mood, and having a robust immune system. Unfortunately, many children experience digestive problems. Let's discuss some of the most common digestive issues seen in children, such as stomach aches, constipation, diarrhea, and even heartburn. Stomach aches are a common complaint among kids and can be caused by a variety of factors, including food intolerances, infections, and even stress and anxiety. The biggest issue that parents face here is trying to determine what the source of their child's stomach ache is. Is it the snacks they're eating? Are they fighting a bug? Or are they nervous about going to school or daycare? And when do you take action? This is when it's really important to take note of when their symptoms are appearing. What's the frequency and what's the setting? For example, if your child has a stomach ache every day after lunch, it's very likely that the source of their discomfort is connected to the food that they're eating. However, if it tends to happen every morning before going to school, it could be nervous tension or anxiety. Another common cause of stomach aches is as simple as the need to poop. Many kids aren't familiar with that mild cramping that could be associated with needing to use the restroom, and the only way that they can describe it is as a tummy ache, especially if they are dealing with constipation. Constipation is a common digestive issue in kids, and it can be caused by a variety of factors, including a diet lacking fiber and high in processed carbohydrates, not drinking enough water, which causes stools to become hard and dry, taking certain medications, and a simple lack of physical activity. Not only is constipation very uncomfortable to deal with, but it also plays a role in the development of chronic health problems. So it's certainly something that should be addressed. You see, having regular bowel movements plays a key role in the detoxification processes of our body. This allows your child to get rid of harmful toxins that they're exposed to and absorb into their systems every day. Your child should have soft, well-formed stools and be eliminating their bowels on a consistent basis. Now, the frequency will change depending on the age of your child. For infants, it's ideal for them to be pooping after each feeding or even at the very least once a day. For older kids, daily is ideal, and 2 to 3 times per day is also good, as long as the stool is soft and well-formed. If your child is struggling with constipation and you take them to their pediatrician, it's not uncommon for them to be prescribed a laxative, such as Miralax. This is a short-term solution and is not addressing the root cause of the problem. Not to mention, Miralax has never been tested on kids, and it says directly on the bottle that it should only be used in ages 17 and up. It's frustrating when I hear about other doctors who recommend this long-term, since any laxative should never be used for more than 10 days. This is because it can create a dependency, meaning your child's body can get used to using a laxative and be unable to go without it. And this is opening up a whole new set of problems. So if your child is dealing with chronic constipation, opt for safer routes of treatment that are still effective. Some ideas include making sure your child is drinking enough water and eating enough whole foods. This may seem simple and basic, but it's at the root of so many kids' constipation issues. Additionally, doing a castor oil tummy massage can be really helpful. Castor oil acts as a natural laxative that encourages blood flow and stimulates digestion. It's also perfectly safe to be applied topically. So massaging it in a clockwise fashion onto your child's belly for about 5 to 10 minutes is both soothing and an effective way to get the bowels moving. Another common digestive issue in children, although less common than constipation, is diarrhea. Diarrhea is usually caused by bacterial or viral infections, food intolerances or allergies, and even certain autoimmune conditions like celiac disease. Now, in cases of a viral infection, often referred to as a stomach bug, many times the only real option is to just let the virus run its course and just soothe and support your child as they go through it. Making sure they are very hydrated becomes priority number one, because dehydration in kids who have diarrhea is very common and it can be really dangerous. Typically, providing your child with both water and electrolytes is key, so you can help to battle the fatigue that comes with losing so much fluid. I would say skip the Gatorade, though, and opt for cleaner sources of electrolytes, such as LMNT electrolyte packets, or even just adding some pink salt, sugar, and lime to water. If the infection is bacterial, your doctor might prescribe an antibiotic. And if they do, you may want to consider balancing that out with a probiotic. Probiotics are beneficial bacteria that can help balance the microbiome in the digestive tract. An imbalance in this microbiome is often one of the root causes of digestive issues in both children and adults. Not all probiotics are created equal, though, and some are better than others for particular symptoms such as diarrhea. For example, Lactobacillus rhamnosus and Lactobacillus reuteri, as well as Saccharomyces boulardii, are a few strains that have been extensively studied and shown to reduce both the duration and the frequency of diarrhea in children. Now, if the diarrhea is more chronic or it comes and goes, it's less likely to be associated with an infection and could be caused by the food the child is consuming. Diarrhea is a common symptom of a food allergy, sensitivity, and/or intolerance. Additionally, autoimmune conditions like celiac disease, which have yet to be diagnosed, can cause chronic diarrhea in kids who continue to eat wheat products or gluten-containing foods. These are all different scenarios that should be investigated by your trusted healthcare professional. And like I always say, if you don't feel like your current doctor is doing their best to get to the root cause, please look into working with either a functional medicine doctor or a naturopathic doctor. These kinds of doctors are trained to look outside the box for possible causes of chronic conditions like these. Last on our list of common digestive issues seen in children, we have acid reflux or heartburn. Heartburn occurs when stomach acid backs up into the esophagus, causing a burning sensation in the chest and the throat. Up until recent years, this never used to be a problem seen in children, but unfortunately, it's become more and more common. But why? There's a few possible scenarios to consider here. One is that many children today consume a diet that's really high in processed and fast foods, which can be high in fat, salt, sugar, and low in fiber. These types of foods can irritate the lining of the esophagus and contribute to heartburn. Another possibility is the increased usage of electronic devices, such as smartphones and tablets, which can lead to poor posture and again contribute to reflux. I know this may seem far-fetched, but it's a real correlation. We're seeing that kids who often assume a hunched-over posture for extended periods of time leads to a condition known as text neck. It's kind of like this. The hunched-over posture can cause the esophagus to be compressed, leading to a reduction in the space available for the stomach to expand during digestion. This can increase the pressure in the stomach, leading to reflux of the stomach acid into the esophagus, especially if they're snacking while they're on these devices. Another possible contribution to seeing more heartburn in kids is increased levels of stress and anxiety. In today's world, with the rise of social media, increased exposure to environmental toxins, and even increased academic pressure, it's no wonder that kids today are more stressed and anxious than ever. All of these things can contribute to higher stress and anxiety levels in children that many previous generations did not experience. What many people don't know, though, is that when children experience stress or anxiety, their body responds by releasing hormones such as cortisol and adrenaline, which can increase the production of stomach acid and long-term increased levels of inflammation in the body. Not to mention, chronic stress leads to changes in eating patterns, encouraging kids to seek comfort foods that are lacking nutrients and higher in problematic ingredients. Teaching your kids stress-reducing techniques such as mindfulness, deep breathing, and meditation can be a great way to curb the anxiety and stress they experience, while also providing them with tools that they can use throughout the rest of their life. Then we have food sensitivities, which I briefly mentioned earlier. Food in our current world just isn't the same as it used to be. Almost everything has an ingredient list these days, and most of the time, the ingredients aren't great. Because of this, we're seeing more food sensitivities than we ever have before, and when left unaddressed, symptoms like heartburn can begin to show up as a result. Now that we've covered the basics of digestive health and some common digestive problems that children face, let's move on to some practical tips for raising kids with a healthy and happy gut. It's important to note that any suggestions that are given this episode are merely guidelines and should not be taken as medical advice. Because although I am a doctor, I'm not your child's doctor, and therefore I'm not aware of their personal history or individualized needs. So it's recommended that you do check with your child's doctor before implementing any of my suggestions. Today I'm going to give you four tangible tips that aren't just your typical drink water and eat veggies, although that is sound advice. I'm sure you've heard something like that before. But let's get right into it. My first tip for raising kids with a healthy and happy gut is to encourage mindful eating. It's much too common nowadays to eat on the go or even multitask while eating by watching TV or playing a game on their phone or tablet. I recommend that you teach your child to eat mindfully by taking the time to put pause on everything else and focus on their meal. Teach them to chew their food properly and savor the flavors. You can do this by asking them to chew a certain number of times before swallowing, or even asking them to describe the taste of what they're eating to you as best they can. It may seem silly, but this is indirectly causing your child to put all their attention on their food. This will not only aid in digestion, but it will also help your child develop a healthy relationship with food, because they'll quickly become aware of when they're no longer hungry and have reached satiation, which is a skill that many adults have lost over the course of time. Tip number two is to avoid artificial coloring and food dyes. Now, this is a big ask, and it's a lot more difficult to do, especially if your kids are already old enough to have developed a liking to candy and other sweet treats. Food color dyes are artificial or synthetic colors that are added to food products to improve their appearance and visual appeal. They're used to enhance the natural color of foods, mask the loss of color during processing, and to make food more visually appealing to consumers, especially children. Artificial coloring and food dyes are most commonly found in processed foods, and they've been linked to many health problems in children. For example, certain synthetic dyes, such as yellow 5, yellow 6, and red 40, have been associated with hyperactivity and attention deficit disorder in children. Additionally, some studies have linked food color dyes to an increased risk of cancer, allergic reactions, and other digestive health problems. Because of this, I recommend that whenever possible, you avoid purchasing foods that contain artificial coloring and food dyes. One way to reduce exposure is to choose foods that are naturally colored or that do not contain artificial dyes. Thankfully, these are becoming more and more popular, so more options are becoming available. Tip number three is one I had already mentioned before, but it's worth mentioning again. Make sure the children in your life are drinking plenty of water and moving their body daily. Drinking enough water is essential for maintaining good digestive health, because if the body doesn't have enough fluid to flush into the colon, your child will be left with dry and hard stools that are painful to pass. As I mentioned earlier, stools should always be soft and well-formed. If they are in the shape of pellets or if they're abnormally large, this is a sign of constipation and could be due to lack of hydration. So encourage your child to drink plenty of water throughout the day and to limit sugary drinks like soda and sweetened juices, mostly because this will reduce the amount of water that they want to drink. And how much water your child should be drinking depends on their size. So a generally safe goal is to reach for half of their body weight in ounces. So if they weigh 40 pounds, aiming for 20 ounces a day is ideal. Even encouraging them to snack on foods with a high water content, like cucumbers and carrots, is a good way to help them reach that goal. Additionally, make sure your kids are moving every day in some form, as this encourages movement through the large intestine and will help your kids in the bathroom. Because of the increased screen time, kids have become a lot more sedentary. So it's not uncommon to lay down on the couch or the floor playing on their tablet all day. Make sure to build in some regimented movement, whether that be going for a walk after dinner as a family, putting them in sports or dance, or even purchasing something like a mini trampoline that could be a fun physical activity that they can enjoy at home. Tip number four for raising kids with a happy and healthy gut is to incorporate more fermented foods into their diet. Fermented foods like yogurt, kefir, kimchi, and sauerkraut are rich in probiotics, which are beneficial bacteria that can help promote digestive health. Incorporating fermented foods into your child's diet on a regular basis can help maintain a healthy gut microbiome. This can prevent imbalances and digestive symptoms, and it has the added benefit of supporting their immune system. Because if you didn't know, about 70% of the body's immune system is located in the gut. So if your child gets sick often, this could also be a sign of poor gut health. Now, if your child is not a fan of fermented foods, as many kids are not, you can also consider giving them a daily kids probiotic supplement. I personally like the one by Claire Labs. They have a probiotic supplement formulated specifically for kids 2 years and older, and they also have an infant probiotic. I'll be sure to link this in the show notes if you're interested in trying it out. And those are the four tips I have to share with you today. As a brief recap, in today's episode, we discuss some of the most common digestive issues children face, such as constipation, diarrhea, heartburn, and causes of stomach aches. I talked about some common causes and approaches to these concerns, and we then followed that up with four tangible, not-so-obvious tips for raising kids with a healthy and happy gut. I hope that you found the information in today's episode helpful, and if you have any questions or comments for me regarding anything I talked about, please leave a comment or shoot me a message on Instagram. I would love to hear from you. That brings us to the end of our show today, so thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you'll join me for the next one.